As I pondered what we were going to do this Ash Wednesday, because as a pastor, you get tired of doing the same thing every year. And Ash Wednesday is an informal service for us. And there's a reason that I say for us, because we're Protestants, okay? We're not Roman Catholic. And the Roman Catholic Church instilled the season of Lent and beginning with Ash Wednesday and all the things that were to come. Yeah, you can. If you need more food, there is more stuff over here, so we can bring it over. But the question then comes to, as Protestants, then, should we celebrate Ash Wednesday? Should we celebrate the season of Lent? How many of you realize that there are many Protestant churches that do not celebrate the season of Lent? They do not celebrate Ash Wednesday. Some of them will have a Good Friday service, because Good Friday is in the scriptures as being the day that the Lord died, and they'll have a service on Friday, and then they'll have a service on Sunday. Some of the churches that we know, especially the Brethren Church, they have what they call the Love Feast, which is Maundy Thursday, where they wash one another's feet, and it's also the remembrance of the First Communion that was given. Communion was not given on Ash Wednesday. It was given on Maundy Thursday. So why do we celebrate and why do we do the things that we do? And as I was preparing for this, it just so amazed me, because I had a whole sermon written out and I got a notice on, oh my heavens, Facebook, that I had a message. Well, here the president of the EA sent a message out to the entire board of directors of the EA. And guess what it was? I'm going to read it to you. It says, "We are Protestant, not Roman Catholics. Therefore, we firmly teach salvation by grace through faith, not by works. Consequently, Lent is not an obligatory. He has a much better education. He's a PhD. I'm just poured out and gone. As Protestants, we do not hold anything holy outside of the Scripture. Hence, any part of Lent we observe is voluntary and not compulsory. We cannot earn our righteousness or salvation. We do not pray to Mary or the saints, and we are not under the authority of someone in Rome. We are under the authority of God. We stand for Scripture alone, Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone, giving glory to God alone. However, this does not mean we cannot use this time before Easter in much the same way as we observe Advent in preparation for Christmas. We can intentionally draw nearer to God during this time, especially in view of Good Friday and Easter ahead of us. If you have your scriptures in hand, please turn to James chapter 4. Please turn to James chapter 4. Because he gives us scripture, the president of the EA gave us all scripture to look at and to ponder with this little letter that he wrote to all of us. And I just thought it was so unique because of where I was leading us into Lent. And I figured, you know what? This is going out to all the EA churches. All the pastors in the EA received this, not just the board. And it answers a question, a great question. From James, in the fourth chapter, verses 8 through 10, we read these words. "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you." When I read these words and when we think about what Lent means to us and where it comes from, it lends to the very scriptures itself of what is Lent doing? What are we looking for during Lent? Because during Lent, we are taking a time of humility to look upon ourselves and remember that Jesus said that we are to die to self to live for Him. And that's what we do during Lent. And in that, we come this day. So we come back to Pastor Tom's letter, and he says to us, Easter is the grand celebration of Christians. Would you agree with that? Easter is, without Easter, do we have any reason to meet? Absolutely none. But it is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have the victory, because he showed us he is the victory. So we prepare ourselves, looking as we did here with these words, to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And that's what we're doing. We are not putting the traditions of men before our God. We are simply using the tradition as a form or function to reach to God, where we glorify him and uphold his word. It is only reasonable to prepare for Easter intentionally. But again, here we are not bound by tradition or reason alone. We are bound by Scripture alone. Therefore, we are free to observe Lent if we choose to or not to observe it. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. From Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 16, we read these words. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is only from God. We don't come here to celebrate Lent as a thing we do. We come here to celebrate Lent as something God is doing in us. Can I get an amen, church? And that's exactly what this word tells us. So it's understanding that as Protestants, you know, we don't observe this thing as a ritual to work our way to heaven. We observe this in humility for the God who loves us and has brought this preparation in our lives, even throughout the Word of God, every day. But during this season, just as in Advent, it's a time for us to concentrate our efforts, to once again come back. How many of us need times in our lives where we need to just do something for the sake of doing it, because if I don't, I'm going to forget it and I'm going to walk away from it? And that's what's happening here today as we draw. With this understanding, we can voluntarily observe Lent. But we do it not under the compulsion of a usurped authority figure in Rome, from tradition or from reason, but from grace. If we choose, we are free to do it from the stance of being God's redeemed people by the work of Christ alone for us, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, thankful for his atoning work on our behalf. We are grateful and open our lives to his work in us and through us. We do not try to earn his favor. We cannot earn our salvation, but we can draw closer to him in our daily walks as he works his grace in our lives. And this is the last scripture he gives us, which is Romans chapter 12. And you all know this scripture. In fact, many of you know it. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Because this is the truth of what we are to do. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's what we're doing. When we as Protestants look at Lent, we are looking at what the Word tells us. And we observe it freely, not under compulsion, but as a way, as a means for us to draw near to Him and glory in Him. Because it's not about what we do, it's about what He has done. So today, as we gather on Ash Wednesday, and for many people here, we remember that there are those who have gone on before us, amen? Our mortality is but fleeting. None of us lives forever, lest we're called up to heaven in that moment of transfiguration when the church shall be raptured. Then we shall never perish, for we shall continue on from eternity. But it is appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment. Amen? So as we remember that, as we look at these 40 days that set before us, we set them aside in reflection, repentance, and renewal. It's a time when we are asked to examine our hearts, confront our sins, and turn our gaze towards the cross of Jesus Christ. The imposition of ashes. How many of you today? I mean, I was out today. How many of you were out and about today? Did any of you see anybody with imposition of ashes on their head? I actually saw a Korean family. It was four of them walking through Aldi's. That's where I got all the goodies here today. And as I was going through, every one of them had a black cross on their head. And I just looked at them and gave them the thumbs up. And they just smiled and lit up inside. Okay? Now, I know they're not Catholics. They're from the Korean church, most likely. And I know they had their service today. So again, they're Protestants. And they're looking at, yet you shall return. Because I want you all to remember this. This is what is being spoken when we do the imposition of ashes. That you are to remember that dust you are, and to dust you shall return. However, it is put on your head, and this is the truth, it is put on your head in the form of a cross. Why? Because it not only looks at your death, but it looks at your resurrection, that we shall be raised with Him. So when we think about what is going on, the symbolism that is there, we don't do it because men tell us to. I don't do imposition of ashes. I'm sorry. I just don't do it. You know, if the congregation would ask me, I would not have an aversion to it. Because it's just ashes and oil on your forehead. But the reality is it does nothing but make you wash your face. What is real is what's taking place inside. Amen, brothers and sisters. I don't need to do something that others can see that I did something. I want God to see who I am and help me change. And that's why we're here today. Because we worked that out together. How many of you realize that? We worked that out together in the body of Christ. Because in the hustle and bustle of our daily lives, it's all too easy to lose sight of our spiritual priorities. We become distracted by the world and by the concerns that entangle us in this web of life that we all call life. But on Ash Wednesday, we're invited to pause. For 40 days, we're asked to take stock of who we are and whose we are. And in that, we hear the words of the prophet Joel from our scriptures. For he says to us, "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. Rent your hearts, not your clothes." Because Jesus Christ does not circumcise us physically. He circumcises us spiritually of the heart. So today we are submitting to that spiritual circumcision that was taking place when we became Christians, when we were called into Christ, and when the Holy Spirit came upon us. So today we need to remember that repentance is not merely about feeling sorry for our sins, but about turning away from them and turning towards God. It involves change of a heart, a change of mind, and a change of direction. How many of us could use a little bit of change of direction? Amen. Our world needs it. But we need to remember, they've been teaching our world this direction for the last 50 years. And we've all been subject to it. And it's hard to stay on path. So we take these 40 days yet again because it is a spiritual journey. It is a place for us to come and get involved in the change of our heart, our change of mind, and our change of direction. Not as simply a second thought because we go to church on Sunday, but because of who I am and whose I am. Can I get an amen, church? Because sometimes we just need to purpose such a thing in order for it to be effective. As we embark on this Lenten journey together, let us commit our lives once again to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us seek out opportunities for reconciliation and healing in our relationships, both with God and with one another. Let us open our hearts to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, who can make all things new. May this season of Lent be a time of spiritual growth and renewal for each one of us. May it deepen our love for God and for our neighbors, and may it draw us ever closer to the cross, where we may go with the words of comfort and hope that each of us has experienced, as we have been forgiven and death is conquered through Jesus, who is our Christ. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.